Permet mi-a, permet mi-sper, mai de fondel, stai bonel, ai urmele, ai urmele, ai urmele, ai urmele,
It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Our study in the Bible has taken us to Ephesians chapter 4. And I pray that you've been following along as we've been studying the Word of God. And the Word of God is quick and powerful, and it helps us to understand things about God. And those of us who have trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior, it helps us to know more about our Savior, Jesus Christ. Of course, He is God. You know, as I think of this, looking in Ephesians chapter 4, I probably should have titled this series that we're going through in chapter 4, Victory in Jesus. Because the last time we talked about how that we do have victory in the Lord Jesus Christ, how that He had victory over death, He had victory, and He has it now, over the grave. And Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14, it says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood," that's as when, you know, we're partakers of flesh and blood, we have flesh and blood right now, "He also Himself likewise," Jesus Christ, "came to this world, He was born of a virgin, and He had flesh and blood. He also Himself likewise took part of the same," He became a human, "that through death," Jesus Christ's death, "He might destroy him that had the power of death," that is, the devil. The Lord stripped the devil of the power of death. Victory in Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 54 and 55, it says, "So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption," this old body's going to die, and it's going to, you know, it's corruptible. It's dying daily, but there's coming a time when the breath of life is going to leave and the body's going to corrupt further. It says, "So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption," that is eternal life. That we have eternal life right now, but this body's going to be changed. We're going to have a new body. "It shall have put on incorruption. And this mortal," that's, once again, the body dies. The person that we know, the person that looks at me and they see me, this body's going to die. "This mortal shall have put on immortality." When this takes place, I'm going to be immortal. I'm going to have, really understand then fully, eternal life. I have it right now. It says, "shall have put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" When we stand at the grave site of a loved one who has gone on before, that person who has trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, it's not goodbye, but I'll see you later. Because the grave cannot hold that person. That person is not in that grave. That person at that point is with Jesus Christ if they've trusted Him as Lord and Savior. And they will receive a new body fashioned like His. And we're going to have the same thing happen to us. That is, those of us who know Jesus Christ as Savior. Jesus said, and Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" We have everything to look forward to today. You say, "You mean you're looking forward to death?" Well, I don't like to think about death, but when death comes to me, whether this body gives up the breath of life, when that happens, I'm going to be with the Lord. But maybe I won't even taste death because Jesus Christ is coming back. He's coming back in the clouds, and He's going to say, "Come up hither." And I'm praying that that's going to happen in the rapture of the church. I'll be with Him forever. I may not even have to die as we think of dying of the breath leaving the body. Of course, the body is going to die when the rapture takes place, but it's going to be so quick, I'm not going to feel anything. I'm going to go to be with the Lord right then. But you know, I think back of the people and the preachers and the saints that have talked about the rapture of the church many years ago, and they've already gone to be with the Lord, and their rapture has taken place. They're with the Lord. They've been caught up with him into glory. They've been caught up with him into the third heaven. We're going to look more about the third heaven in just a few moments if we get that far today. But they're already with him. Their rapture has already taken place. But when I think of the rapture today, I'm thinking of when he comes back in the clouds and says, come up hither. But if that doesn't take place and this body of mine gives up the breath of life, then that is going to be a rapture for me because I'm going up to be with my heavenly Father. And you can do the same if you don't know him. You can trust him as Lord and Savior, and you can go up. You can be with the Lord by trusting him as your Lord and Savior. And saved person, take heart today. I don't know what you're going through. You may be sick. You may have sickness, and you may be worried about certain things in your life, but you have everything to be thankful for today because Jesus Christ has conquered the grave. You're not going to be in that grave. You're going to be with him if you've trusted Jesus Christ. He says, O grave, where is thy victory? Hosea chapter 13, verse 14, we read this last time. It says there, I will ransom them from the power of the grave. Jesus Christ has paid the price for us. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. He's bought us out of the slave market of sin, and he's bought us from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from mine eyes. Jesus Christ is not going to change his mind about all of this. Everything that he has told us about salvation, about the grave, about death, everything about the rapture of the church, everything is going to be there because he's not going to change his mind about the things that he's told us is going to take place. Victory in Jesus. Once again, I should have entitled this Victory in Jesus because it brings gladness to my heart to know that my Lord is on the throne in glory. We're going to see more about that in just a moment. Well, all born again children of God who make up the body of Christ share in Christ's triumph over death. We've been looking at that. They're no longer under the power of Satan, but delivered from the power of darkness. And notice the Bible says he led captivity captive. Well, some see these words, and I'm talking about verse 8 of Ephesians 4. Some see these words as meaning all those who have been held captive by the chains of sin. And we've been set free, and some will say that it's speaking about the chains of sin. Those people have been set free by Christ. I don't have a problem with that, but people who have trusted Christ are delivered. They are set free from the wages of sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Well, let's read Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 8 once again, where it says, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Well, just as some people see these words as meaning all those who have been held captive by chains of sin have been set free by Christ. Well, another view by some is that the Old Testament saints are meant when it said he led captivity captive. And he led them forth from the bosom of Abraham, in other words, from paradise. Well, certainly we have trusted Christ, and those of us who have trusted Christ have been set free from the wages of sin. And as we look at the next verse in verse 9, we're going to read that in just a moment. As we look at that verse in verse 9, we discover by comparing Scripture, it is, in my opinion, that Christ did descend into the lower parts of the earth and led captivity, and this is the Old Testament saints, he led captivity captive, and those who were in Abraham's bosom, in other words, up into heaven, where he ascended on high. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 8 says, he ascended on high. Well, now let's read verse 9 of Ephesians chapter 4. It says, now that he ascended, in other words, now that he's back, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? So I think by reading this verse that it's not only talking about him coming down from heaven to the earth, but it's speaking of him going into the lower parts of the earth. Not just going down to the earth from heaven, but going into the earth. And of course, this would take place before he ascended back to the Father. Let's read that verse again. Verse 9. Now that he ascended, now he's already there, but what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? That's after his death on the cross of Calvary. Now, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 9, it says, now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? Now, you'll hear me repeating certain things here in order for us to get a clear knowledge, I believe. It says there that he also descended. Well, the meaning of the apostle appears to be this. The person who ascended is the Messiah. And his ascension plainly intimates his descension. That is, his incarnation, humiliation, death, and resurrection. I have no problem of looking at it that way, but I believe it goes even deeper than that. That he went into the lower parts of the earth. And once again, this is understood by some simply to mean his humiliation in descending from heaven to earth. But the words more naturally to me mean his descent into hell. And more importantly, I believe into Abraham's bosom. Now, I do not believe that Jesus Christ went into the compartment where people were being tortured. I do not believe that. I believe he was at Abraham's bosom. You remember the rich man and Lazarus of Luke chapter 16? Remember the rich man, he saw Lazarus. He saw Lazarus with Abraham in Abraham's bosom. Lazarus was being comforted while the rich man was being tormented in hell. He asked Abraham if he would send Lazarus over, if he would just dip the tip of his finger in water and touch his tongue with that to cool his tongue because he was tormented in the flame. Well, the Bible teaches me that in Luke chapter 16, there's a great gulf fixed. That means there was a great chasm. There was no way for the rich man to go into Abraham's bosom, and there was no way for those in Abraham's bosom to go in to get where the rich man was at, in hell, the place of torment. I believe that Jesus Christ was in Abraham's bosom, in that place where Lazarus was at, and he was preaching to those souls who had gone on before. Both to those people who were saved in the saved compartment, we'll say, in Abraham's bosom, and to those people who were in hell. I believe they could hear Christ preaching, and he was telling those people in hell, I believe, you should have trusted me. You should have trusted God the Father. You should have come to a saving knowledge so that you would not be where you're at right now. There is no excuse for you being in hell because you did not trust me. You did not trust God the Father to save you in order for you. You could have been over here with Lazarus. And one day you could have been with me in heaven, because I'm going to lead these people out and I'm going to take them with me back to the Heavenly Father, back to heaven, where they will be with me forever, 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 no end. But I believe that Jesus Christ preached to those people in hell and let them know that they could have had what the people in Abraham's bosom and what you and I have, those of us who have trusted Jesus as Lord and Savior. Won't you trust him today if you've never done that? Ask him to come into your heart and trust him right now. Lord, I know I can't save myself. Please come into my heart. Lord, I'm turning to you. I'm turning away from anything else that I thought would be able to save me. I'm turning to you because you are the Savior, and I'm trusting you as God to take me to heaven. I'm trusting you, Jesus, right now to save me, so that I will be able to see you one day and rejoice with you. Save me right now.